The sixth and final presentation, Alternate Christmas Activities for the Wider Community, is presented by Harriet Grissom.
One of the wonderful things about genuine celebration is that it can create a sense of unity among people who usually feel very different or at odds with each other. It can join young people and old people together, rich people and poor people, people from different neighborhoods or from diverse ethnic backgrounds, even people who have different political opinions or religious faiths can get together during a festival. This kind of shared festivity really raises us above the kinds of distinctions and differences which we feel pulled down by in our daily lives. Even occasions that celebrate difference, like St. Patrick's Day or other ethnic festivals, can help to break down the barriers between people and create an atmosphere of mutual appreciation. As we begin to recover the significance and the joyousness of Christ's birth, we start to experience this sense of unity with all people. And there's a great impulse, I think, at this point to want to share that sense of joyousness with others, others who are really beyond our family and our friends and the people in our parish. One of the good things about getting outside the commercialism that excludes poor people from Christmas celebrations and opting out of the rounds of parties and gift buying that take up all our time and leave us real nervous and preoccupied, and all the compulsory cooking extravaganzas, is that all of a sudden we have all this new time and energy to do something different at Christmas. And one of the things that we might want to do is to try to extend our Christmas celebration out to the larger community. So the question comes up, who or what is this larger community that we're talking about? This question reminds me of the one that the disciples asked to Jesus when they said, "Who is my neighbor anyway?" So the larger community really includes anyone around us, but it especially includes those that we sometimes don't see around us. Poor people or disadvantaged people, elderly people, people who are unpopular for some reason, or people who are just different from us and strange to us. So reaching the larger community with new approaches to Christmas that celebrate Christ rather than Santa Claus, well, that could mean just presenting the idea of alternative Christmas celebrations to other people in your church or your family or your circle of friends. If your church is already using alternative approaches to Christmas, you might want to see about extending the idea to the rest of the churches in your denomination. Or you might want to present the idea ecumenically in your community or in your city. Some people might even want to try a citywide alternative Christmas campaign and try to reach the whole secular community as well as the religious community. But in all these efforts, it's important to remember that the goal is not just to spread the notion of alternative Christmas, but it's to work toward developing a sense of community with the people that Christ came to serve. And by that, we mean people who are marginal, people who are disadvantaged, people whose lives are not easy. And we're not just talking about doing this at Christmas time, but for the entire year. I think most people who have thought about it have felt the terrific irony involved in giving out Christmas baskets and serving special dinners to poor people at Christmas, but then forgetting about them during the rest of the year. We don't want to do that. But Christmas can be a really good time to decide to dedicate a certain amount of our time and our energy and our skills and our money to people who need our consideration. And this isn't just to do charity work either. Charity work can be important to help people with meeting their basic critical needs. But it doesn't do much for the people who offer the charity to change their experience of poor people and disadvantaged people. In fact, handing out charity can lamentably reinforce the sense of difference between us and them. And it's exactly this false sense of difference that we hope our celebration of Christmas is going to help us to overcome. So what we're really looking for from the celebration of Christmas as we reach out to this larger community is that it will help us to literally change our way of seeing the poor and the disabled and the elderly and the disenfranchised. It's no accident that Christ was born in humble surroundings, and if we really want to find Christ, that's where we have to look. However you decide to reach out to the larger community with alternative celebrations of Christmas, you need to begin by gathering a reliable group of people who are as committed as you are to changing things. And you'll want to do this as early as you can, even as early as, say, June or July. But if it's already October, there's still some things you can do. But you need to take into consideration that you don't have a whole lot of time. And it's important, no matter what you plan to do, to really try to choose a manageable focus for your activities. Think carefully about how much time and energy the people in your group have for a project. And do avoid trading the commercial rat race at Christmas time for a sort of alternative rat race that's going to leave you feeling worn out. Once you have a realistic picture of how much the people in your group can devote, try to decide who your audience is going to be. Are you going to try to reach other members of your community or your church? Are you going to try to reach other parishes? Are you going to try an ecumenical or a citywide approach? Or are you going to focus on the secular community, or perhaps some combination of the above? Keep in mind in all of your discussions that the ultimate audience for these activities is the people that Christ came to serve. And make a special effort to include them in your activities, not just as objects of charitable activity, but as important contributors to any sort of project or workshop or event that you plan. This probably won't be easy, and it will probably seem fairly awkward, and it may not work at all, but it's worth the effort to try. Now, there's several different approaches to spreading the word about alternative Christmas celebrations, and several different kinds of things that you can do. Some of these things you can do pretty quietly and inconspicuously and maintain full dignity, and others you really have to have a sense of humor and a lot of chutzpah to even think about. So each of the different kinds of things we're going to talk about, you'll want to consider the audience that you've decided to reach and which one would be most effective for them, and also think about the people in your group and what they would enjoy doing most. One of the most sensible and effective tools for reaching other people in your parish or your denomination or your community about alternative approaches to Christmas celebration is to hold a workshop. You'll find that lots of people share your frustration about commercialized Christmas and are ready to make some sort of change. The Celebration Revolution of Alexander Scrooge can help you to present the argument against commercialized Christmas and get people talking. You'll probably find that the participants in the workshop are anxious to share their experience about Christmas, and you should probably make this part of the program. You can ask each participant to write down something about the best Christmas he or she ever had, or about the best Christmas present, and share it with the group. And there are other kinds of evaluation exercises that you can do that are helpful. You can pass out a sheet that enumerates different facets of Christmas celebrations, like, say, giving gifts or eating good food or going to church with the family. And then get the participants to number them according to which ones they think are the most important and which ones are the least important. Now, you may find as you do your workshop that some people are defensive about having commercialized Christmas challenged, especially if they really haven't thought about it a whole lot. And you should remember that criticizing Christmas and criticizing gift-giving and Santa Claus is a really radical thing to do. It sets off a lot of personal emotions and experiences, and it's important to try not to force people further than they can go or further than they want to go. You shouldn't make people feel guilty about being too materialistic. That's not the point of the workshop. What you really want to do is to plant seeds that will help people change in the ways that they themselves want to change. There's some questions that have been used at other workshops to stimulate reflection about Christmas. The first one is that you can ask people, what is the attitude you would like to maintain during Christmas? Identify the best Christmas you ever had and say why it was good. Identify the worst Christmas and tell what made it the worst. Define three areas where you experience stress or conflict during Christmas. What is the gift you treasure most from all Christmases? Think of five family members or friends to whom you would like to give gifts. What intangible gift would you like to give them most? What are three skills, talents, or abilities you would like to share with people? What gift would you give to Jesus Christ? What Christmas message about the Christian faith would you give to all? Now, these kinds of questions are very helpful for getting people to really think about how they want to celebrate. But it's also important to give people something concrete that they can do to change the patterns of their celebration. If your workshop is in October or November and people are already in the throes of Christmas shopping, it's probably futile to suggest to them that they not spend so much at Christmas this year. It'll only leave them feeling real frustrated. But what you can do is, perhaps by using the alternative guide for giving, is to get them to keep an account of how much they spend and what they spend it on. And be sure to include all the paraphernalia that goes beyond presents, new clothes and trips and food, as well as the presents. And get them to think about how they spend their time as well. Now, this doesn't pass any judgment. It only gets people to look at what they're doing and decide if that's what they really want to do or not. Another approach to alternative Christmas workshops is to get Sunday school teachers or others who are involved in educational efforts and show them how to present the idea of alternative Christmas celebrations to their classes or parishes. And you could set this up as a kind of a practicum in which the participants actually design a lesson plan. You can use Alternative's graded study guide material in the first packet, whose birthday is it anyway, to help with this. Remember all along that the main function of the workshop is to support people and encourage them to decide what kinds of changes they'd like to make in their Christmas celebrations. Make sure that the workshop invitations are extended to people in poor neighborhoods as well. Organizing a community festival is probably more work than holding a workshop, but it is an especially positive and joyous way to present alternative approaches to Christmas. Be sure that you adjust the size and scope of your festival to the number of people on the festival committee and to the amount of time that they have available. Regardless of who you decide to invite, make sure that there's a special effort to encourage participation by people who would otherwise be overlooked or excluded. If you serve good food and have good music and have a good accessible location and good publicity, people are going to show up at your festival. Now, there are a lot of different things that you can include in the festival. The first would be crafts that people can buy as Christmas presents. And you might especially want to include crafts by self-help craft groups. These groups try to support themselves. They're usually composed of low-income people who are trying to support themselves by making things. And you can present these as alternative Christmas gifts. You can also encourage local artists and craftspeople to demonstrate their skills at the festival. I think this adds a touch of interest. You can have a table that has a how to make your own Christmas presents, wrapping paper, and card display. Be sure to have samples of these on hand and give people, especially kids, a chance to try it out. Have a book table with books about more responsible lifestyles or ecological issues or economic justice and peace issues. You might also include practical books on low-meat cooking or alternative energy sources. All of these make good Christmas gifts. Have a table where people are making decorations for a tree that you're going to replant after the celebration. Encourage people to use their ingenuity to devise decorations that will especially express the significance of Christ's birth somehow. Now, food, of course, is a critical ingredient in any good festival, but it need not be the usual kind of food. You can try to present food that is homemade and healthy and economical, both for people to buy as gifts and just for people to enjoy eating. And along with the food, you might want to include displays and information about the relationship of nutrition and eating habits, and hunger and world food distribution. The More with Less cookbook and Simply Delicious Quantity Cooking for Churches would both be good sale items at this table. Music is a must at a festival. You can have folk music or Christmas carol sing-alongs or music by local groups, but be sure that there is some music. Folk dancing is also fun if you have somebody who can lead folk dancing. Look for local ethnic groups who might want to participate, or retired people, or young people who are in rock bands. All of this can add unexpected delight to your festival. The center of the festival should be a Whose Birthday Is It Anyway table. Now, this table is going to somehow help people to think of ways that they can give a birthday present to Jesus by giving of themselves, their time, their skills, and their money to the people that Jesus came to serve. You might want to use alternatives, guidelines to giving one, or guidelines to giving two. Both of these guidelines encourage people to avoid commercialized giving practices and divert 25% of what they spent last Christmas, not only in money, but also in time and effort, as a birthday gift for Jesus. Now, to add some dimension to this Whose Birthday Is It Anyway table, you might want to invite local social service, justice, hunger, and peace groups to set up tables at the festival. Be sure they bring their clients along to the festival as well. And this will give people attending the festival a chance to get to know the staff and the clients of these helping organizations and it will help them to decide how they can best give their time and money in order to make a birthday gift to Jesus. People with special theatrical flair and a sense of adventure might want to organize some sort of dramatic presentation. Now, some of the more outlandish alternativers have been known to dress up in green Santa Claus suits and elf costumes, and they go to shopping centers with a bunch of "Whose Birthday Is It Anyway?" literature and hand it out. We've also heard of people who dressed up like a contingent of beleaguered shoppers with giant credit cards chained around their neck and pull Santa in a cash register on wheels through a crowd assembled for a tree lighting ceremony. And the director of this organization once did a Santa strip for the Wednesday night supper at a local Baptist church. He peeled off his Santa suit to show a St. Nicholas suit underneath in order to demonstrate how commercialism had disguised the original significance of Christmas. Now, clearly, activities of this sort really call for a sense of humor and a lot of resilience, because you're going to get a mixed reaction when you try something like this. Some people are going to be amused, and some people are going to be seriously annoyed. After the beleaguered shoppers pulled the Santa on wheels through the Christmas tree lighting crowd, we got a really upset phone call from a lady who said that we'd spoiled her child's faith in God by doing this. So you really have to be prepared for negative reactions. And you also need to be sure that if you're going to try to do a demonstration in public, that you're within the realm of law. Shopping centers are private property, and they can't stop you from trying to do something there, but they can tell you to leave when they're ready to. And unless you're willing to go to jail over alternative Christmas, you need to listen to the authorities. However, if you don't mind this sort of embarrassment, an event where you're expelled from a shopping center for protesting commercialized Christmas can be a really effective statement. If you decide to do a dramatic presentation, you should really keep your message light and humorous. Try not to take out your frustration with commercialism in something that's heavy-handed or angry or overly judgmental. People respond best to humor. If your church or community is going to plan a festival or some special event or workshop, you'll probably want to inform the media. But then again, you might not want to inform the media. A lot of times media coverage is really overrated, and you don't want to have the whole focus of what you're doing depend on whether you get good media coverage or not. The main point, especially of a festival or a workshop or even a dramatic presentation, is for the people who are involved to enjoy it and for the people who participate to learn something. It's not to get on the 6 o'clock news. So you shouldn't have everything that you do, I don't think, focus around media coverage. But, nevertheless, the media can be a really good ally in spreading the word about alternative approaches to Christmas, especially if your group is trying to do something that's colorful or photographable. At this time of year, newspapers and radio and television stations are dying for something different to say about Christmas. So if you have something, chances are you will get some coverage from them. You might also, if you have people in your group who are experienced with media, think about writing a tape or a public service announcement to use on radio and television. Now, this is easy if people know what they're doing. It may not be so easy if you've never done it before. Some communities have even pooled their funds to lease billboards or put ads in the newspaper that carry the message, "Whose birthday is it anyway?" You might write a letter to the editor of your local newspaper to express your concern over the commercialization of Christmas. And this is a real effective way to announce a workshop or a community festival or some other special alternative Christmas event. But whatever you do with the media, timing is critical. And you'll want to send your press releases to major daily papers or TV stations and radio stations about 3 weeks before you'd like to see the release used. Choose the reporters or the broadcasters or the columnists that you think would be most interested in this sort of thing and address it to them. Future editors and religion editors are most likely to be receptive to press releases about alternative Christmas events. If you can actually hand-deliver your press release and offer some explanation to the editor or the reporter or the broadcaster, it's usually worth the trouble. But regardless of how you deliver your press release, you'll want to call several days later to make sure that it hasn't been lost in the shuffle somewhere. And if you want to publicize a particular activity, give a phone call about 2 days before the activity and remind the media to send their reporters and photographers. Church publications and denominational publications, or any sort of smaller community publication, is going to need a lot more lead time than a big city paper to get something in. So you should submit your releases to these kinds of publications at least 6 weeks in advance of the time that you'd like to see them appear. But the best thing, really, is to contact the publications directly and find out exactly how much lead time they do need, because sometimes their schedules are really far in advance. And again, you'll want to follow up with a phone call to make sure that your press release hasn't been lost or mislaid. Now, aside from just spreading the word about alternative Christmas, and I think that that's the main thing that the workshop or the community festival or indeed the dramatic presentation or the media does, is really to spread the word that there is a different way to celebrate. If your group's ready for it, you might want to decide to take on a project that really meets a need in the community. Now, if you are prepared to commit this much time and energy, I think there's probably no better way to celebrate Christmas than with this kind of commitment. You can look at your community and see what kinds of needs there are. Perhaps you could start a food pantry or a night shelter or a community meal project or a reading program or a job training program. But by doing these kinds of things, you can carry the promise of Christ's birth right into the world and right into everyday life. Assess the needs in your community carefully, and also be sure to find out if there are any groups that are already working to meet those needs. If there are, you might want to offer your group as a support force for a group that's already working in a particular area. But if you see that there's a need that isn't being met, you may want to initiate your own project. Again, it's very important to define the scope of your project and to be sure that it's going to be manageable and realizable. Things go slower than you think, and sometimes if you set your scale too large, you can be disappointed by a failure. Whatever you do to spread the word about alternative Christmas and share it with the larger community, you shouldn't underestimate the amount of work and hassle that's involved. But don't underestimate the rewards either.
This concludes this presentation and the series, Let Jesus Come, Let Santa Go, Celebrating an Alternate Christmas by Milo Shannon Thornberry and Harriet Grissom. It has been brought to you by the National Catholic Reporter Publishing Company, Post Office Box 281, Kansas City, Missouri, 64141. All audio rights are reserved by National Catholic Reporter.